We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks Podcast on KMBZ.
There's a place where the boat leaves from and takes away a little your big problem, but you got worries, you could drop them in the blue ocean. But you gotta get away to where the boat leaves from. Take one part sand, one part sea, and one part shade of a banana tree. And the drinks are cold and the reggae
Sam
is hot. And
today, I know this is the place for me. He's a big fan. Get Zach Brown is your artist of the day today.
Well, that makes me happy.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that you are about to be exiting this fine facility for your vacation?
It probably does, but I did not request it.
Fair enough.
And he said, do you want to do like all beach songs today? And I'm like, no, it's not about me today.
Oh, please. You know it's about you. You're staring at that clock. You're like, when does my plan leave? When does my plan leave?
Early.
It's okay. We've all done it.
When do you get back anyway?
Some of us more than others.
A week from tomorrow. I leave tomorrow and I get back in a week.
Very nice.
Yeah.
We're going to be in the Dominican Republic having a good old time.
Good for you.
Not worried at all?
No, I'm taking the girls, and I'm so glad you're taking your family. It's going to be a fun time. Just, you know, take every precaution that you normally would.
I'm not drinking, so
yeah.
What am I going to do? Hit the mini bar again right in front of Kelly? That'd be smart. She'd kick me right in my you-know-whats.
I bet she would.
By the way, there's something I want to mention in just a minute. That picture of me that you guys put up in the newsroom.
I had nothing to do with that.
It's scary.
I had nothing to do with it.
They took my age app thing, that face app that we did last night that ages you like 25 years, and I look like a meth dealer from the Ozark show that I'm being told.
Scott actually looks like an extra on the set of Ozark. And for whatever reason, they made your beard fuller and completely white.
Yeah. Well, they're aging you 25 years.
Yeah, you definitely look like a Ray Bob or a Ray Earl.
I'm a two first name guy.
There's some methiness about your age
and
progression
then underneath
photo.
It on the screen, and this is not just a little TV screen out in the newsroom. Mm-hmm. This is the big Topic Plus screen that we have
right
next to the studio. And underneath it in gigantic letters, it says diabetes.
Which is fitting because it also kind of resembles like Wilford Brimley.
Come on, man.
What?
If you want to see the age progression photos, I'm almost positive they're on the KMBZ Facebook page.
Now, be careful with this thing. Before everybody goes to the Face app, they featured it on Good Morning America today.
Mm-hmm. They're trying to fish for your info.
Like the Jonas Brothers did it, and man, that was interesting to see what they'll look like in 25, 30 years. It's run out of St. Petersburg.
And not Florida.
Not Florida. Russia.
Oh.
Yeah. And in the terms of service, you basically are opening yourself up to all personal information about yourself.
Well, I just deleted the app. Does that count?
I don't know. Depends on what they got first.
And you didn't because you made me take yours on my phone.
I don't put apps on my phone.
Ugh.
I don't want it.
I blame Mike Wickett. Mm-hmm. He told us all to download it.
He did.
Strangely, the 2016 Russian meddling was run out of what city, Mr. Starrett? Do you remember?
I believe that was St. Petersburg.
Huh, that's odd.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Wonder if this is the same group that meddled in the election a couple, 3 years ago.
But at least you got a sweet Wilford Brimley photo out of the deal, right?
And Dana got her information hacked.
There you go. That's great. That's great.
All right. No, speaking of great, we have great news.
I'm so excited.
We have great news today, and we're going to talk with her at 3 o'clock this afternoon. It was many, many months ago, and I was hesitant to mention this on the air, but she had put it on Facebook, so I figured it was public knowledge at that point. But we were sad to report many months ago that our dear friend, Darla J., who used to work here on KMBZ, had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And she has beaten breast cancer, thank God.
And she's beaten something else, too.
She will be joining us at 3 o'clock because Darla J's battle with breast cancer has gone, according to Alonzo Washington,
viral.
No, national.
It's gone national and viral.
Darla J is national news today because it is tradition in many cancer units to ring a bell when you've received your last treatment and are presumably soon to be, if not already, cancer-free. Darla J went out to ring the bell.
Put it back on.
She beat cancer and then broke the bell.
Yeah, she took that bell and made it her you know what. And I saw that video and tears came to my eyes, Scott, because I'm so happy for her. And I can't wait to talk to her at 3, and I don't know why I'm crying. But I'm just happy.
She's a friend.
I'm so happy for her that, you know, it's been a rough couple of years. And she says the doctor saved her life. She, I was exchanging messages with her earlier, and she has a couple of little hoops to jump through, but her final radiation treatment was yesterday. And she, her diagnosis was in February. She had to have 30 radiation treatments. And one of the things that she has said...
You mean chemo treatments?
Radiation treatments.
Oh, really?
Huh. She said, even though I kind of knew what was coming, you don't really know until you lay down on that radiation bed and you're getting ready for treatment. And so God bless her. I was just so happy to see her face, number one. Number two, when that bell flies off, I about fell over laughing. And number three, when I heard her laugh, which is second really only to my laugh.
Maybe.
And might beat it. She and I in the same room sounded like a couple of chattering dolphins. And that laugh brought the biggest smile to my face. And I just am so excited that we're going to talk to her at 3 o'clock.
I broke the bell. That's fantastic.
We can put it back on.
If you Google
Darla
J cancer bell, it's not just the national networks that have all picked it up. And she was on CNN. She's been on Fox News. I think it was on ABC News this morning with George Stephanopoulos.
Did they interview her or just feature the story?
I think they featured the story, but all of the affiliates have then picked it up. And so to say that she's gone viral is the understatement of the decade. I mean, she is everywhere today.
You know, God bless her and good for her. I remember when my mom had breast cancer in the 90s, she ended up doing chemotherapy. And I hope that it's better now than it was 20 some odd years ago. Yeah. Because I can remember, you know, my mom, of course, lost her hair and everything. And
how old was she at the time, Scott?
54.
Okay.
53. It was a bad 2 years there.
Yeah.
I don't remember the order in which it came, but she had a double hip replacement, heart attack, breast cancer, and lost my dad all in 2 years.
Yeah.
It was a rough 2 years. But I remember I would sit with her while she was going through chemotherapy. I know my dad died before she had breast cancer because he wasn't there, and I would go sit with her in his stead. But the chemotherapy, and I imagine it still does, just gives you these horrible mouth sores. Where she literally had to eat through a straw because it, you know, just the there were so many sores in her mouth.
It's just poison. It's poison.
Well, it is. It's right. That's exactly what it is. But God bless Darla J. We will talk with her at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Maybe a little family feud on for the going out party.
Babe, whatever you want. This is your day.
No. We'll talk with Darla at 3. We'll do family feud sometime in the 4 o'clock hour. Okay. Don't let me forget. Okay, Sam. That's Sam Stevie. Will Starrett reads the news. Dana Wright, I'm Scott. I almost called you Darla J. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Not looking to make a topic out of it because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but an update. This was decision week, I think it was, in Washington, D.C. for the Department of Agriculture employees who are being transferred to Kansas City. 40%, almost half, 40% say they're going to quit. And they'll just test their luck with a federal government job in Washington.
You know, I will walk back something I put on Twitter after, you know, I didn't take it very well when all of these people in the beginning were like, we're not coming to Kansas City. You know, I love this
city. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. Before you speak, I misspoke. 40% are coming. 60% are staying
correct.
In D.C.
60% are either staying, quitting, or doing something else, but they're not coming here. And so, you know, when I first heard everybody complaining about it, I went on Twitter and said, hey, your house just got bigger and your payment was cut in half. You're welcome. Signed, all of Kansas City. Like, quit your griping. It's a great town. You're going to love it here. Mm-hmm. And your house payment just went down by half.
How'd that go?
Here is, someone replied to me, and I'm trying to remember who it was. It's somebody I think I even, you know, enjoy. And they wrote, come on, Dana, that's not fair. You know that moving your family across the country, I don't care where you're going, would be very difficult for anyone to do if you have roots in D.C. Now,
that's
I can't imagine a lot of them have roots in D.C. I don't know many people that have roots there. I mean, D.C. is just not that kind of town, but maybe they do. And I thought, you know what? That's a fair point. So if someone offered, I shouldn't say offered, but said to us, Scott, Intercom is moving and you're moving with it, take it or leave it. I don't care if it was to one of the greatest cities in the world. I probably wouldn't do it. Not with all the kids in school. If you have kids in school, I probably wouldn't do it.
And one thing that we need to think about, and I heard a similar story on CNN yesterday evening or something, I can't remember, but where they were saying it was decision day and they had to, you know, they weren't going to lose their jobs yesterday, but they had to decide if they were going to stay and make the move to Kansas City or no, I'm going to let my job go to Kansas City without me in it in a couple of months. I got to thinking, what would I do if I was working for the USDA and they came to me and said, your job's being transferred to Kansas City? Or let me rephrase, your job's being transferred to Washington, D.C. Take it or leave it. My mother lives here. And she's...
Oh, that's a big one. Aging parents.
And she's 74 years old. My father is buried here. All I've known is here. My friends are here. My girlfriend has a successful job here. My brother lives in Wichita. And here's the big one. My minor child still lives here. And I cannot take her out of state.
No.
If I were to take the job in D.C., I would never
be going solo.
And my oldest daughter is going to KU. My youngest daughter is still 14, and I cannot take her that far away because of a job. Shonda would keep sole custody of Maya, and I would never see her during her high school years. I would tell the government to suck it.
So the texter was right. It is bigger than just your house payment. Although, I think my gut reaction would have been different if it was any other area of the country than D.C. So, to me, because it's Washington, D.C., my gut reaction is your family's probably not all there.
See, now,
your roots aren't there.
Why do you say that?
Because those government jobs are, you move there for the government job.
I don't think that's right.
I don't think you're from D.C.
I don't think that's right. Number one, it's a gigantic city. Now, think about this. That's like saying most people who work at Sprint have no connection to Kansas City. You get a job at Sprint because it's a local employer and you want to stay. The federal government is just the big local employer in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people that live there have roots in D.C.
I'm going to look it up and see if there are any statistics on that. I'm trying to look up how many federal employees are from D.C. and I'm not... Oh, here we go. Exactly how many Washingtonians? Washingtonians work for the federal government.
Now, see, that's a trick question.
It is, because you could also be from Virginia.
Or Maryland.
Right.
Are they only talking about people who live within the District of Columbia who work for the federal government? Or are they talking about people from the metropolitan area, which is very large, who stayed after high school, after college, and work in Washington, D.C.?
But you would agree that it is, by and large, a tourist town.
No, I don't agree with that. I agree that it is a government hub, But I would bet the vast majority of people, and Dana, by this, I'm talking about your career bureaucrat, not your senator, not your
right.
Secretary of Defense.
You work for the FDA.
If you work for, say, the FDA or the Department of Education, you're a career bureaucrat. You're a pencil pusher. I bet you're from, more likely than not, you're from the D.C. area. Yes. And you went to college and you came home, or you stayed there and went to college somewhere, Virginia, Virginia Tech, Maryland, whatever. And you just got a job working for the federal government because it's secure.
Yeah.
It's got a hell of a pension. Most jobs you can retire, if I'm not mistaken, help me here, those of you who work for the federal government, for after 25, 30 years. Think about this. The federal government is the second largest employer in Kansas City, Missouri. We have a huge federal government presence in Kansas City. I would bet the vast majority of people who work at the federal government building downtown
mm-hmm.
are actually from Kansas City, the metropolitan area, and weren't shipped here from somewhere else. And think about it like this. The USDA is coming here, okay, with this, and it's not the whole, not the entire Department of Agriculture, of course. But this part of the USDA is coming to Kansas City. 40% of them are going to move their job from D.C. to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Where do you think they're going to get the other 60% to fill those jobs?
Here.
They're going to get it here. That's right.
And they are highly skilled, high-paying jobs.
576-7798. 576-7798.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. Ice, ice, baby.
Real quick.
Ice, ice, baby.
We're moving on, right, but the share of adult D.C. residents, Scott, who were born in D.C. over the years, always remains somewhere between roughly 20 to 32% of its population.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. There is a little bit of a controversy out in Independence, apparently. They were talking about permits. In particular, I think the meeting was about medical marijuana permits or something. And there was a discussion going on between Independence City Councilman Kurt Doherty, who made a comment trying to compare, you know, limiting locations. And he made some comments
like
about...
like the government limits all kinds of things.
Yeah, we don't put, you know, blank in the historic downtown area. We don't put this in the historic downtown
tattoo
area.
Tattoo parlors.
Tattoo parlors and stuff like that. Anyway, listen for yourself. This is Independence Councilman Kurt Doherty.
You know, we cap a lot of things. We've capped payday loan businesses, you know, and we had all the talk on that, and that's been a really a good thing. We've capped pawn shops. That's worked out. You know, pawn shops, we, you know, everybody would steal it and pawn it in the middle of the night, so we throttled that back. Tattoo shops, it's anxious to tattoo a teenager who can live only in the moment. Discount smoke shops owned by mostly Middle Easterns who will sell anything out the back door. We've limited trash trucks on the streets. We've limited fireworks stands. We have different restrictions on business license.
Did you catch it?
Oh, I caught it.
I'm sorry. What did he say?
He said they limit smoke shops mostly run by Middle Easterns who will sell anything out the back door. Here, let me just play for you again in case you missed it.
You know, we cap a lot of things. We've capped payday loan businesses, you know, and we had all the talk on that, and that's been a really a good thing. We've capped pawn shops. That's worked out. You know, pawn shops, we, you know, everybody would steal it and pawn it in the middle of the night, so we throttled that back. Tattoo shops, it's anxious to tattoo a teenager who can live only in the moment. Discount smoke shops owned by mostly Middle Easterns who will sell anything out the back door. We've limited trash trucks.
So, two things here.
Okay. By the way, it's Middle Easterners.
Right. He just shortened it.
I mean, if you're going to racially profile people or play into stereotypes.
If you're going to be racist, get it right.
At least get it right. The Kansas City Star article says you could hear some rumblings in the crowd when he said it. I don't think I heard an audible gasp, but that no one on the city council said anything. And, you know, this is now part of the official city record for the city of Independence. For the rest of time, this comment's going to be in there. And I always wonder when someone says something like this, why does someone not jump in and say, I'm sorry, that comment was inappropriate. You owe...
because you don't have the floor.
Some business owners an apology here.
You've got to be recognized to speak.
You owe, owe Middle Easterns an apology here. Nobody
now,
said anything?
From the text line, he's telling the truth. It's just plain old not okay to speak the truth anymore, writes somebody else. I'm tired of the PC culture. I don't know. And listen, I too am tired of the PC culture, but I draw the line where you stigmatize an entire group of people based on the color of their skin.
Or their region
or their,
of origin.
Or the region of origin. Thank you, Will. And castigate them. You know, it would be no different than if you said, well, you know, go to the any convenience store. They're all run by a bunch of Indians. And I mean dot, not feather.
Yeah, but you know what? He would probably say that. And I knew if we talked about this, there would be a group listening who would say, what was wrong with what he said? What's wrong with what he said?
Who cares if they get ass hurt, says somebody else. He's not lying. I started buying beer at 16 from those gas stations in Independence. You know what? So did I. But it was from Food for Less in Leavenworth. And you know what the color of the person who sold it to me was? White. So let's just, everybody needs to take it. I'm telling, am I missing something, or is this country on a tinderbox of racial, what's the word I'm looking for here after that? Consequence? I don't recall, and again, I wasn't around in the 60s. I don't recall a time when this country has been so racially insecure. Am I wrong? Middle Easterns will sell anything out the back door. I don't care who you are. That is not appropriate. A, not all smoke shops are run by Middle Easterns.
Are we really going to use that term?
That's the term he used. Yeah, of course, in the 1860s, we were in a very racially insecure time. Yes. Among other things. 576-7798. 576-7798. Says somebody on the text line, no, it was not an entire group of people. He is stating a trend of fact. Those shops mainly have winded up in the hands of Middle Easterners that will sell anything out the back door. It is true.
You know, the New York Times several years ago, I found an article called An Ethnic Road to Riches, The Immigrant Job Specialty. And they talk about the different ethnic groups who seem to gravitate towards certain industries. And the gas station is one of the first ones mentioned.
Of course.
In the article. I don't know why.
Well, the BP on the corner of my street is run by a family from India. That's a fact. Yes, and there is a stereotype that all 7-Elevens in this country are run by Indians. But you know who what else Indians and Middle Easterns do? They work in IT. They probably operated on you at some point. You just didn't know it.
Schools, businesses.
Tons of hotels. Tons of hotels.
The New York Times article mentions that as well. So was what he said wrong?
It was not racist. I think it was racially insensitive.
Insensitive.
Yes.
Okay.
He's not to be racist. I think you have to think that you are automatically better than somebody because of the color of their skin.
It is xenophobic, I would contend.
Okay. Or racially insensitive.
Sure.
Also, what does it mean selling everything out the back door?
I don't know.
I've never heard that term, so I don't know what that means.
Well, I'm assuming what he's implying, or what I inferred, is that if you're under the age of 18, or they don't want to have to register it as an actual sale
okay.
and pay taxes
okay.
on it.
Okay.
It's the equivalent of under the table.
Yeah, got it.
They open up the back door. Dana Wright shows up. What do you need? I need four packs of Marlboro Lights.
Okay.
Here they are. We'll sell them to you for a small profit. Just we're not going to pay any sales taxes on this thing. Okay? We'll get to your calls here in just a moment. 576-7798. Mm-hmm. For those of you asking about the president, we're not going to get into that. We don't talk about the president of the United States, not because we hate him or we love him. It's because, you know what? I was reminded of this last night. This is the only time I'm going to talk about this. I was driving home listening to Aaron Burnett's show on CNN. And they had on a left-leaning person and a right-leaning person and her. And they were talking about what's happened over the last several days. There was so much over-talk and yelling. I turned the radio off. I just turned it off.
I don't want to anymore at all. Unless there's a wildfire or a hurricane.
They were all just screaming at each other. That's why we don't talk about the president, whether you love him or whether you hate him. We don't talk about it because there cannot be on either side a reasonable discussion, period. Jenny and Shawnee. Hello, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. This is Jenny and Shawnee, and I'm a dog groomer.
Okay.
And I feel like that a lot of the black people are carry their feelings on their shoulders because I had a black lady brought her two Shih Tzus in to get groomed, and she said they were bathed and they were brushed out. And when I tried to get a comb through them, they were matted. And I said, you people that think your dogs are brushed out, and they're not, it's real hard on me to groom them. And she blew up. She said, you people. And meaning anybody, I don't care if you're black or white or green, people, that, man, woman, that don't get their dogs brushed out. That's what I meant by you people. And she actually quit coming to have me groom her dogs. And I didn't mean to offend her.
Jenny, yeah. I would say, though, the term you people, when leveled at anyone, is almost always taken to be offensive. Almost always. It's a loaded term.
But is it racial, hon?
I think it's loaded.
Okay.
The problem with, and I think this speaks to racial insensitivity, or in the case I think that you're trying to describe as what you're saying is racial sensitivity, is the problem with it is it's not your intent, it's the way it's perceived.
Right.
And your intent could have been pure. I have no reason to doubt that it was, or that it wasn't, I mean. But exactly. The problem is, insensitivity, whether you like it or not, is often in the eyes of the receiver.
You don't think you people
I've used that term before.
I think the minute you use those two words, you people, you are, even if you didn't mean to, Jenny, there is a hidden kind of passive aggressiveness to that, those two words. You people.
Yeah, well, I didn't say it mean. I just said you people that think your dogs are brushed out. And, you know, I would have said it to any person, not meaning, trying to make a point,
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. Jenny, I'm glad you called. By the way, I want to address this real quick, and I'm not thin-skinned. I just want to clarify. I've been listening to you all for a long, oh, there it is. I've been listening to you all for a long time, and when Obama was president, you all couldn't talk enough about him. But good old Trump, quote, we don't talk about him. This show has become increasingly left, almost extreme left. Let me just address that real quick. When Mike Shannon and I were doing the show together, which lasted until 2012, early 2012, we did talk about the president a lot because it was then a politically based show. And by the way, when we did talk about Obama, it was not very flattering most of the time. When Dana joined the show, I was sick of talking politics. She didn't want to talk politics. So we agreed to try to not make it a political show unless we absolutely had to or during an election.
If John McCain passes away,
it gets mentioned,
of course. We mention that.
Of course. And at some point, we'll probably mention right now, Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens died overnight, third longest serving member of the U.S. Supreme Court. Anyway, we are trying to avoid at all costs making this a political show. That's why we don't talk politics, because we have become so entrenched, we being the American people, that no one's willing to bend. Talking politics in radio is now like talking about abortion. You just don't do it.
If you would like to go listen to people scream back and forth at one another over issues that are not going to be resolved,
you can find it at 980.
You can find it on the, I lovingly call it the angry old white man radio station that my father loves. You can find it there. You can find it online. You can find it on Fox News. You are not going to find it here.
You're not. 576-7798. We're talking about the, I guess it's a controversy, out of Independence. They were talking about zoning and permits for medical marijuana shops, which are going to start popping up here in the not-too-distant future in the Missouri side, or on the Missouri side. And one member of the city council, a man by the name of Kurt Doherty, was suggesting that the city council, and I think he's right in this regard, has the right to limit where certain things go in the city. For example, can't put 5 tattoo shops in the city square. You can limit where convenience stores go and where other stores, smoke shops. But when he talked about smoke shops, he said, we limit smoke shops, and I'm paraphrasing, run by Middle Easterns who sell anything and everything out the back door. And some people are saying, whoa, 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 whoa. What does that mean? Steve in Lenexa. Hello, Steve.
Hey, y'all. Happy heat day. You know, this guy, I think he was making a statement of fact. I don't think there was any meanness in his heart. I mean, I do a lot of house building in all kinds of neighborhoods. And from what I've heard, how this scam works is that you got poor whites and poor blacks that buy a ton of soda, and then they go back to the Arabs and the Indians out the back door of the convenience store.
Steve, really?
I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you the facts of the matter. You know, this is an issue of fraud.
It's pronounced Arabs, by the way.
Okay, well, it's an issue of fraud rather than it's an issue. I mean, there's a lot of the Indians and the Middle Easterns are that they take the Coke and the Coca-Cola out of the back room. And then they sell it. They don't pay any taxes on it, and it's you get a welfare card, and you get $200 on it. You buy a bunch of pop.
Steve, first of all, you have no information to back that up whatsoever. Number one,
it's been all over the news. It's all over the news. They should in some towns, in some states, they look into this thing. I'm just telling you, that's why he said the Middle Easterners sell it out of the back door, because it's an extremely common practice in some states.
But do you not even, but hang on, and I'm not a super PC guy, but I try to refrain from words like Arab when discussing someone who is of Middle Eastern descent. I usually call them Middle Easterners, not Arab. Don't you see that even in your explanation, you have a tinge of racial insensitivity?
Well, no, I put the Indians in there, too. I put the Indians and the Arabs in the same sentence.
They're not Arabs. They're Arabs.
Okay, the Middle Easterns and the Indians. Let me tell you, in some states, if you buy steaks or about $200 worth of Diet Coke, you can sell it to the Middle Easterns or the Indians or whatever they want.
Or the Arabs. Or the Nips. I mean, where do we stop? They can all buy it.
Steve, you know what you should do? You should run for city council.
I'm going to move to Independence. I mean, whatever they want to be called, if they want to be called Arabs.
Oh, God.
Eastern,
okay.
All right. Indian. All right. Okay. All right. Steve, nice job.
Wow.
This is, I believe, the same Steve, and he uses a different Johnson County city every time to throw us off just a little bit. It's the same Steve that calls in every week and just goes off the rails and tries to say the most offensive, inappropriate things he can say. He was the one last week that said something inappropriate about you, Dana, that I stopped him. It's the same guy. Watch for him in the future, because he's not very smart. In fact, he's quite dumb. And I think he's just trying to get everybody's goat. He doesn't add to the conversation. He subtracts. He's what they call in the radio business a useful idiot. But his idiocy, I think, has run its course. I have no tolerance for that. I told him Arab is inappropriate, and I corrected him, and he just keeps coming back with Arab to just startle the senses.
Instead of Arab?
Or Middle Easterner?
Should the councilman apologize, Scott?
I think he should apologize for using a stereotype that I think many people would consider racially insensitive. I don't think he, I don't think what he said was racist, but I do think it was racially insensitive. Yes, he didn't. And the reason it's racially insensitive, he didn't have to include the stereotypical ethnicity of people who apparently run the smoke shops in Independence. He didn't say, you know, and then we limit the white trash owned tattoo parlors. He didn't mention that. He left that alone. He didn't say anything about white trash tattoo parlors. That's who runs them. I don't agree with that, by the way. But that's the stereotype.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.